Even though he was out cold, I couldn't stand by and let them eat him like that.
You did the right thing.
Even Rock, who had seen just about every conceivable kind of violence in the world, was repulsed.
A peaceful man dying such a hideous death.
Let's get out of here, Rock.
I couldn't agree more.
Below them, the megapedes filled the entire cavern floor, hundreds of them slithering over one another in maddened hunger, eating the chunks of blasted insect that now lay everywhere, sucking from the puddles of blood. The two free fighters loaded the supplies on their shoulders and started the long climb up, Rock first. He had barely gotten 10 feet when the rope gave.
What the hell?
They looked up at the fissure opening that led to the surface. About 50 feet up, three megapedes were slithering down the wall, one of them with a big piece of rope still stuck in its jaws.
Oh, great. This has really been a good afternoon.
I've only got 8 star knives left. You?
About 15 cartridges. The walls of the fissure are too smooth to climb without ropes.
Gotta try. All we have to do is get up about 50 feet. The top of the rope is just hanging there.
Chen grabbed the bloody rope that had fallen when bitten in half and wound it around his waist.
I'll get up there, Rock, and tie them together. Here's my remaining star knives. Don't spend them all in one place.
And with that, Chen rushed to the fissure wall. He leapt up, hugging his body to the smooth surface, searching for any sort of handhold. The surface here was different than the cavern below. It was more like the ground up top, smooth, slippery. Chen had trained in climbing every sort of surface, but this stuff was like climbing on glass. He got about 15 feet and then slowed almost to a crawl. Somehow, Chen managed to squeeze up another 10 feet, his arms and legs straining with the pressure of holding onto indentations not more than an inch deep. He reached up for the tiniest of handholds about a foot above him and set 3 fingers on it. But as he pulled himself up, his hands slicked with sweat came free. He fell backwards as Rock watched in horror below. But like a cat, Chen was able to twist his body all the way over in midair, and he landed on his feet, rolling instantly to absorb the 25-foot fall. Without even stopping, he came to his feet as Rock rushed over.
You all right?
Just my ego, Rock. I hate to say it, Rock. Since I've been a believer that anything can be done if you put your mind to it. But that wall is like climbing a piece of ice. I just don't know.
Roxon handed the star knives back, and both men looked at each other.
I think this is it, pal.
I would have rather gone out fighting the Reds, but we never quite get what we want, do we?
Suddenly, the massive bodies down below began fighting one another, the victors quickly digging into the heart and brain of their foes. Then suddenly, remembering or slowly sensing their presence, the entire swarm of the killing horrors turned toward Rock and Chen, their mandibles focusing up toward the ledge. Nearly 200 of the megapedes, their fronts raised up, their 1,000 legs wriggling in wave-like motion, looked up at the two freedom fighters.
I think they like us. Listen, Rock, I hate to be melodramatic, but if things get bad, I want you to...
I'm saving 2 shells.
I wonder how our Ms. Goldman is going to do.
Rock couldn't help but smile.
Yeah, she is going to be surprised when we don't come up.
We're coming, Rock. This is it.
The megapedes had made up their minds to head up to the second floor and see what goodies awaited them there. They slammed down onto the rock ground and came straight at the fissure wall, countless tendrily legs whipping along beneath the long brown tubular bodies. When the first wave was about 20 feet from the foot of the ledge, Chen attacked. The mass just rolled over the guts of their dead. Though another dozen were blown to shreds, the rest were totally oblivious to the continuing destruction. They were either too brave or too stupid to care. Rock figured the latter. The ninja warrior shot down another pair. To the same result.
I'm down to 2, Rock. You got your 2?
Chen looked toward Rock's shotgun. Rock nodded without emotion. Suddenly, a rope dropped from above and dangled, whipping around as if someone was climbing down it.
What the hell?
Rock spun and looked up. About halfway up the fissure entrance, a shape was rapidly descending to them. Another rope fell from the darkness, and a second shape as well.
Hey, man! Help us here!
and Troy. Chen, we're clear. Unload!
The explosions shook the entire ledge, knocking about a dozen of the things off the wall. But as they fell, others took their place. Chen backed off as Rock raised the 12-gauge pistol. A brown head appeared over the top, jaws reaching forward, snapping, and ready to close on anything.
Holy shit! Good throw, Detroit!
Phosphorus grenades. Detroit came down on the ledge next to Rock. He wore only a U.S. Army t-shirt and jeans, and two belts of grenades around his broad black shoulders.
How the hell are
you? Never better than right now. But how the hell did you...
Can't talk now. Sorry.
I can't!
Archer!
The giant of a man took his crossbow from over his shoulder and quickly loaded it with a large tipped arrow from his quill. He fired at one of the far walls. Burning pools of napalm spread out in every direction, enveloping the squealing insects. Now, as stupid as they were, they knew something was up. Instead of killing, they were being killed. They pulled back in terrified retreat, the first time they had ever had to run. They disappeared back inside their little tunnels, some of them burning with napalm on parts of their bodies. Soon, the only creatures left were twitching weakly, bodies burning to ash. Roxon holstered his gun, his body relaxing for the first time in hours.
So, where'd you drop in from?
Well, after you left Century City, the rest of the team and I got together and felt that you just wouldn't enjoy the full pleasure of your trip without our company. So McCaughlin, Arch, and I followed you from a distance, figuring we'd be your ace in the hole, when and if you needed us. I know we'll get hell to pay for it when we get back, but...
Hell to pay? Remind me to tell you to follow me all the time. And McCaughlin,
He's up top, Rock. He was a little too hefty to make it down the ropes. So he's taking care of Miss Goldman and cooking up a storm. He said he knew you'd be hungry after you were rescued.
Not this time. I don't think I'll eat for days.
This is some good swamp rat.
Yeah, better than that skunk piss you call stew, old Brady.
It's a recipe handed down through the generations of my family, Pete. I guarantee you there's no better way to eat on the cheap than that.
Well, it's a damn good thing we ain't gonna have to eat on the cheap no more then.
What do you mean by that? Pete, what do you mean by that?
You'd have best just tell the man, Pete.
Oh, okay. You know that Atkins guy we met a little while ago?
Of course I know him. He's the guy we're delivering these pelts to in the Five Valley region. What about him?
Well, he's got connections. Money. We make nice with him, we may turn out to be the top pelt guys in all of New America.
You mean Atkins is the...
We're about to sell to the convention ranch. Soon as we get back, they're going to vote for the next president of New America. And we'll be there, along with our pelts.
You're telling me we're going to where all the freedom fighters are? The ones who are going to vote for the new government? Who's going to be there?
Everybody who's anybody. Simons, Crutch, Crosby, Langford...
Roxon? Will Ted Roxon be there?
I sure hope so. I heard he blew up a whole city and flew off in the president's own helicopter.
Yeah? Well, I heard he invented a new gun that tears tanks right in half. Just one shot, and boom! I tell you, if Langford, Roxon, and everybody else was there...
It would be every leader for a new America gathered, all in one place, right where we're headed.
You seem awful interested in who's gonna be there. Why?
Well, I'm just a little starstruck is all. I can't believe our fortune to find ourselves in the middle of history itself. To think, after the meeting, everything will change.
It sure will, Whiskers. For the better.
Oh, you got that right. Now, if you'll excuse me, I gotta go drain old lizard. If you know what I mean.
Well, you just went not 10 minutes ago.
Well, that stew and moonshine is just going right through me. I'll be back in a minute.
Charlie Whiskers walked off into the copse of trees where their pack mules were tied down. He felt Pete's eyes boring into him the whole way. Whiskers didn't let it get to him. Soon it would all be over.
Hey there, mule. How you doing? Yeah, now. Keep quiet, you hear?
The man stole a quick glance behind him and, satisfied that he was out of sight, knelt down and took hold of a small device attached to his mule's belly. He gave it a quick tap and, satisfied that it was functioning, leaned in even closer.
This is Deep Red 7. I have a location in the Five Valley region. I will come back soon with exact coordinates. Soon they will all arrive just as we thought. Ready the neutron weapon. Prepare.
Charlie, you've been leading us this whole time.
Whiskers felt the cold pressure of a gun pushed into his back.
Stand up, Red.
It's not what you think.
I know what I heard. I guess I'm just lucky I had to go too. I guess all of America's lucky.
Whiskers slowly stood up, hands to his sides, and turned to face O'Brady.
Pete's still by the fire?
Yeah, he's watching the food. Guess there'll be more for me now. Like I said, lucky me.
Lucky you is right.
Whiskers' hand came up in a blur of motion. His middle two fingers pressed on his palm on the way up, activating the Derringer auto holster he had stored in his forearm housing. By the time his arm was at chest level, the .38 Special was ready to fire.
You get to die quick.
O'Brady!
The red spy darted behind a tree.
Shit, he saw me.
Pete had turned toward the sound of the gunfire and saw O'Brady's body fall. He didn't know exactly what had happened, but he certainly knew enough to feel just fine about killing Charlie Whiskers. The only problem was that he only had his ancient Ruger 22 and 5 shots. And he had just used one.
It's not what you think, Pete!
You killed O'Brady!
It was self-defense! Hey, he was gonna kill me!
Why?
He wanted all the money for himself! He was gonna kill you next, he told me!
I don't believe you!
You can believe what you want. He don't change the truth.
And what's that?
But you're going to die, just like him.
You son of a bitch!
I didn't want it to end like this. I really didn't.
Come on, you damn turncoat! Come out and kill me like a man! What are you, a coward?
Not a coward. I'm a patriot. I'll be made general for this.
And with that, he threw Pete into the fire.
And the Americans will finally bow to their true rulers.
The free fighters pushed on. It took nearly 3 days to get across the earthquake-fissured land, as they had to move as if in a maze to find connecting pathways from section to section. It would have taken even longer, but after 36 hours, the land began closing again. The chasms shrank to fissures, then cracks, everything drawing back together to its original shape.
I swear it's alive.
Detroit and Roxon took the lead, with Archer and McCaughlin, then Miss Goldman and Chen following behind, spread out over about 100 feet.
Earth. Goddamn Earth. It's like a wound closing and sealing itself. Look, it's already flattening out and turning into that glass-like surface again.
Who knows? Maybe it is. Anything's possible in this crazy land now. Just when I think I've seen whatever all is out there, something comes along and bites me in the ass.
You okay, Rock?
Yeah. Damn bug got me in the leg. I'll be fine.
Roxon looked back at Miss Goldman. She still seemed quite depressed about the death of Dean Keppel, although she didn't know what had really happened to the mortally wounded man. But Roxon knew she'd come out of it. As for him, he was glad that Detroit, McCaughlin, and Archer were along for the ride. He knew there'd be hell to pay when they got back to Century City, with all the liberal council members attacking them for not following the council's orders. And they had a point. Democracy had to control the military, otherwise they were just like the Reds. Still, when it came to survival, the wolves and the megapedes and a thousand other mouths waiting to devour whatever came down the pike didn't give a damn about democracy or rules and regulations. If the rest of the rock team hadn't shown up, he and Chen would be inside numerous brown stomachs at this very moment. Rock looked over at Detroit with gratitude in his blue and violet eyes.
Hey, did I ever thank you for saving our goddamn asses back there?
Hey, did I ever thank you for saving my goddamn ass over 1,000 times? Though I lost track of counting a long time ago.
And did I ever thank you for saving my big goddamned ass about 2,000 times?
The voice was McCaughlin's, a bear of a man, atop his immense hybrid horse, the biggest that Century City had bred. Pots and pans dangled off the back of the brid, and an assortment of food filled 2 75-pound burlap bags. McCaughlin always traveled well prepared for emergencies, particularly those of the digestive variety. At last, they reached the end of the atomic-made glass ground and hit a series of hills that soon became forested with low growths of thick, stunted trees, the bark, blacker than night, covered with small needles. Archer headed off into the woods, looking for a meal. After a mile or so, they came to a small, bubbling pond formed from an underground spring.
Come on, Snorter. Let's go see if it's safe to drink.
How are you going to check?
Hybrids have an uncanny sense of whether water is drinkable or poison. So, what do you say? Is it safe? Oh, great. Come on, men. Fill up your canteens. Anybody wants to wash up, do it over on the side, away from the drinking area.
The team washed themselves down while the Brids drank their fill. Then they filled their canteens and gourds to capacity.
Mr. Roxton, would you and your troop be so kind as to turn your heads while I wash?
Huh? Oh, yeah, sure thing, Terry.
They obliged and heard her splashing around in the 10-foot-wide spring. Roxton had to admit that he had been wrong about her. She was turning out to be quite a woman. She had stopped complaining about the hardships and dangers and seemed to have toughened up considerably since the night they left Century City. Dean Keppel's death had affected her deeply, but it had also shocked her into the realities of the strange world out here, a world she had little contact with in her entire life. But then, education comes in many forms, most of them not pleasant. As the sun set, Archer came back with a small green warthog.
Ah, this is perfect. I'll cook this baby up with some applesauce and white wine. Detroit?
I got the fire once we find a good place to cook. How about over there?
Detroit nodded at the shielding groves of trees that surrounded the waterhole.
It's perfect. The Brids need a break. They've been going for nearly 8 days without a stop or water. And this is pretty good cover here, just in case the Reds have any of their drones this far out.
The hog cooked slowly over the next hour, and soon the grove was filled with the smell of pork and applesauce.
Good catch, Archer.
I'm gonna scout on a few miles. After the last encounter, I want to get a little better sense of what lies ahead.
You sure you okay going in a long rock?
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Take your time, Rock. I got a whole book of recipes I want to try out on this here little critter. Why, we could have pork pie, pork bread, pork pudding, pork stew, pork jerky, pork...
By the time you're done with this hog, we're never going to want to see ham again, are we?
I can guarantee it.
Rock set out late in the evening as the others were heading off to sleep. Chen was the first watch of the night, and he waved a silent goodbye as the Doomsday Warrior rode off at a steady gait into the darkening shadows. The crescent moon was slicing through the purple clouded sky, casting shadows on the hills and forests below. Snorter set himself into an even pace, happy to be able to find sure footing in the packed soil of the grassy, weeded ground. He slowly raised and lowered his huge black and white head in obvious contentment, once in a while snapping at a choice-looking high-grown weed with his broad teeth without missing a step. They rode for miles, Rock letting the night calm him, teach him. As they moved further from the wasteland behind, the animal life grew louder and more varied, the trees thicker, taller, with moist green leaves, creating a canopy through which the moon shot little shivers of pure white light. Suddenly, as if dropped down in the middle of nowhere, Rock came to the ledge of what was, or had been, some sort of town. with brick walls half toppled over, demarcating the town border. Stopping by the entrance, Rock listened. Nothing. It was uninhabited, not a sign of life. The choice of which street to enter was obvious. A wide road passed through what had once been the center. Three- and four-story buildings made of poorly constructed concrete and brickwork gazed down at him from each side of the street. Dark, dusty windows, but glass long ago knocked free, doors hanging at odd angles in their frames as if dead. Faded signs hung above stores. Din's Hardware, Master's Saloon, Best Beauty Parlor. Rock grinned at the words, an old American town preserved in its entirety. As he moved deeper into the town, the air grew damp with a dank, foul odor. Vines grew up and around the buildings, enveloping them in a green embrace. There was the feel of decay in the air. Rock leaned over and peered through a window. Skulls, piles of them, nearly to the ceiling. He went for his gun.
Who's there?
Suddenly, figures charged from the darkness, leaping from the vines, from above, from all around him. Rock held his gun, but didn't fire. Something. The moon suddenly flickered through the clouds, and he could see them. Women. Primitive, dirty, covered in rags and ratty furs, their faces burned with rage as they came at him. He could see hundreds of eyes peering from within the darkness.
Let's go! Yeah!
Rock still held fire. He wasn't in the mood for killing women. Why the hell were they after him anyway? Now they poured from all the buildings, running and stumbling toward him. Some were naked. They were savagely beautiful.
Take him! Take him alive! Take him for Barbara, our goddess, and for us!
They came forward, more than he could count. Young, filth-encrusted, raven-haired women, with long, strong-looking arms and legs, sinewy, agile as cats. They rushed at him.
Stop! I don't want to hurt you!
He pointed the 12-gauge shock pistol to the sky. They hesitated for a moment, but then came even faster. He kicked his palomino hard on the sides. The brig took off down the street, straight through a group of the savages. Suddenly, Rock saw it. At the far end of the street, they had erected some sort of barricade. Chairs, tables, tree branches, anything they could find. It was high, but Rock looked back. The entire town was after him, hundreds of them shaking their fists and charging down the street.
Well, that makes it easy, boy. We gotta go for it. Yeah!
He kicked the Brit again, and it took off from a full gallop to its fastest jumping speed. They approached the barricade at tremendous speed, Rock hanging on tight. The Palomino seemed confident, running in long, even strides. They reached the obstacle, and the steed leapt high. They sailed toward the top, a good 8 feet off the ground, just clearing it. As they went over, one of the women standing on top dove at Rock with an outstretched spear. He ducked and grabbed her hand, swinging her up onto the saddle in front of him. Snorter came down on the other side smoothly.
Let go of me, you man!
Damn it! Stay still! Damn it!
He galloped through the town, meeting no more of the female attackers, and stopped finally in a clearing several miles away when he was sure that they were safe. Looking at her in the moonlight, Rock noticed her smooth skin. He wasn't sure, but it seemed to be almost green.
Stay here, Snorter.
Slowly, the woman came to.
No. Damn you!
You speak English. I'm amazed you can speak at all. You all acted quite animal-like back there.
Yes. We speak English.